Thank you for joining us for another grace-filled message provided by Gordon Clarkson. Gordon is the founder and senior elder of Kingdom Reign Ministries, Cape Town, South Africa. His ministry and calling is to bring the church into accurate alignment with biblical and eternal standards, empowering all generations to become future leaders and true sons of God. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose in and through the body of Christ.
Greetings to you this morning. As I welcome you this morning to listen to the word of the Lord with me this morning, I thank you for listening. Thank you for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I have already started with this new series in speaking on David, not so much David as a historical person, but David as a principle, an ancient principle, I must say. And I'm bringing your attention to a tabernacle that David has erected in his time. And that will be the line of thought, and we shall visit that temple, or rather that tabernacle of David, to see if we can extract some principles to build the Church of Jesus Christ, even in the days, this modern days that we are living in. So I coined this series, The Tabernacle of David, and this morning we are busy with part two. And I'm going to read you exactly the same scripture of last time, but the whole idea is not just to remind you of the scripture, but also to give you the context of the tabernacle of David. And there are actually two portions of scripture when it comes to the tabernacle of David. One is in Amos 9, and the other one is in the book of Acts, chapter 15. I'm going to read this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 15, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the issue about, there was actually an issue about the conflict over the circumcision that led James, the senior apostle, to the issue of the tabernacle of David. So before I say anything more, let me turn your attention then to Acts 15 from verse 1. And just to give you the context, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sects of the Pharisees who believed rose up and saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they did. Then, verse 12, all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the word of the prophets agree, just as is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set up, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Then it pleased, verse 22, it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, and who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, saying, The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. Now, that was the reading from the apostles to the church that was troubled by this Pharisee invasion, if I can call it this, because there was a certain group of men in the church coming from the church of Moses who want to forcefully force the Gentiles. First, before they can become Christians, they must first subscribe to the laws of Moses. And that was the dispute. But in the midst of the dispute, James, the senior apostle at that time, rose in that crisis and addressed the issue of the tabernacle of Moses, rather of David. Now, we are studying this icon, like an icon on a desktop of a computer, to put it this way. And we're studying David as a blueprint, a model for the future church. Very important for us to study David, especially in these days, because a last day church is a Davidic church in the mind of God. The focus on David, according to Amos 9 and And Acts 15 is how David erected his tabernacle. Now, I'm saying to you this morning that God will only be impressed with a church that builds for God a dwelling place like David. The tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon were overlooked when God expresses his desire for a future prophetic house to inhabit. So God turned not to the tabernacle of Moses or the temple of Solomon, but he rather turns to the tabernacle of David. Now, David, not as a historical person, but in Matthew 1 verse 1, we read about the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in reading, in understanding his own genealogy, the Bible's explained in Matthew 1 verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, it refers to Jesus as the son of David, not anyone else's son, but the son of David. And in the process, ignored 14 generations from Abram to David. Jesus declared that he was a son of David. He traced his ancestral line to David and not to Joseph, his earthly father, or to Abram, the originator of the Hebrew people. Now, why David? Jesus was looking for the most accurate representation in his lineage and found David, the model that he can emulate. David is representing the ancient principles, and if discovered, it can lead the church, that can lead us back to the most accurate place in God. So we must extract the principles of building God a habitation from the tabernacle of David, as explained in Amos 9 and in Acts 15. Now, in the restoration of the tabernacle of David, and this is what God said according to the book of Acts 15, that this will be the tabernacle, or let me put it this way, this will be the dwelling place that will be restored in the last days, the tabernacle of David, not Moses. We are not moving back to Judaism. We are moving back to a Davidic position in Christ. Now, through David, God sees the moment, the opportunity to start something new through David. And we know and understand, like I've already explained in the previous message, built in the tabernacle of Moses is the policy of only appoint priests from the Levitical tribe. Your legitimacy to function, your legitimacy to be used by God comes from your earthly bloodline, meaning the Levitical tribe. We still see this today. There's still a New Testament. There's still a Moses tabernacle in the church today, and we still see this in many modern churches, that the children or close relatives will automatically follow up the leader of the church and become the successors. And the successor is sometimes not even called by God as a pastor, but it is expected by the family that he shall take over the reins from his father. Now, this is a Moses model. And God is not turning his face to that model, but he's turning his face to a Davidic model. David, who was from the tribe of Judah, built a tabernacle and performs the priestly duties at that tabernacle. And we read here in Hebrews 7 verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. It says in verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord has risen out of Judah, regarding which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning a priesthood. Now, you see, and it further says here in Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So we also see that even in the Old Testament, David, who was also like Jesus from the tribe of Judah, performed duty at the tabernacle, which was not allowed according to the protocols of the tabernacle of Moses. Now, and here we see that Jesus, also not from the tribe of Levi, is also called a high priest. He says here in Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, nowhere does the law of Moses speak of another tribe except the Levitical tribe that can perform duties at the tabernacle. But here we see David, who was not from the tribe, perform duties in the Old Testament at the tabernacle. Now David has prophetic sight that in the last days a new order will rise that will accurately capture the mind of God and represent God in this order. We need the installation of the core principles of what David was building if we want to build an accurate church that represents God accurately and well in the earth today. Every fresh move of God demands that a new covenant commitment must follow the engagement with that people. Apostolic and prophetic doctrine, if you really study it, is all about breaking down and explaining the covenant agreement between us and God. Now, the installation, the restoration of the tabernacle of David is about, number one, the installation of core principles and values with the structure of church that we are in today. Number one, the installation of core principles and values. The installation of core principles and values within the structure of the church, I will say, to make it functional. I'm talking about the principles, the core principles and the core values that was locked up in this tabernacle of David. Like I said, David is just David is a historical person, but in the historical person is the values and the principles that we need to extract to build God an accurate Davidic house that can attract the presence of God to the earth. So the installation of core principles and values within the structures of the church to make it functional in terms of, number one, covenantal emphasis. Covenantal emphasis. We are not in a convenient relationship with God. We are not in a convenient relationship with God. Well, if we want to build this kind of structure in the earth, this and attract this glorious presence of God, this royal presence of God, a certain level of His integrity and character to us, then we have to follow and install the core principles and the values that is found in the tabernacle of David. And the first thing that we shall discover is covenantal emphasis, not convenient relationships. And we will see them as the churches come to the realization of death that is sinking in the church, we will start to see that more and more people will start to jump denominational walls built up by religious people, set boundaries for the church, and limit the church how and when they can fellowship, how and when they can interact with God, when and how they must worship the Lord. These limitations will be broken through a new covenant with God. And God will definitely allow the saints in these last days to jump denominational lines and express themselves in a Davidic order of worship. When I talk about a Davidic order of worship, I'm not talking about people dancing with flags and different colors of uniforms on a stage and running around in the church with flags and all these kind of things. This is not what I'm talking about. When we talk about Davidic worship, we talk about an inward posture instead of outward manifestations. This is the Davidic. It's not something that is on the outside, but it's something that is deep inside in your spiritual posture. Number two, the restoration of the tabernacle of David is about, number two, God's strategic plan for final empowerment of the whole global church in the last days. God's strategic plan for final empowerment of the whole global church in the last days. And when God starts to empower the whole global church in these last days, we shall see by doing that, the action of God will strip churches from certain mentalities and even from denominational insanity, from all humanistic principles and ideologies. The church will be stripped when God will bring in the tabernacle of Moses and use it as a strategic plan for final empowerment of the global church. David and the ordinary people around him were empowered by the Spirit to do things at the tabernacle that was highly restricted and prohibited by the protocols of the tabernacle of Moses. No ordinary man shall perform duties at the tabernacle. Now David broke that restrictive law by the strength of his revelation of a future people who will, as the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, we will all boldly enter into the presence of the Lord, boldly enter into the tabernacle of God. No restriction how far we can go in God. That church, I tell you, saints, is definitely on the horizon as we speak. Number three, the restoration of the tabernacle of Moses will build as in the days of old. When we bring in and we become serious of building the tabernacle of David, we will build according to the ancient patterns, the ancient ways, meaning the church shall return to our faith positions, the ancient faith positions, the positions of our forefathers. We shall return to that place. And we shall not be built something that is foreign, something that is disconnected, something that is different from our forefathers. God will never build like this. God built revelationally, God builds relationally, and God builds generationally. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. And God is determined to implant the seed in the womb of the next generation. It says here, Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty of ashes for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may call trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vineyards, vine dressers. Isaiah 61, verse 6, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their works in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. Or let me repeat, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So Isaiah talks about a Zion position to console those who mourn in Zion. When we talk about Zion or the Zion church, we talk about an ancient position in the spirit. We talk about ancient patterns, ancient positions, patterns that were set by our forefathers. And we see the pattern that Abram set for us in Hebrews 11. The Bible said Abram, he expressed himself while he was living in a tent. He set the tent became the pattern. But in living out the pattern, Abram said, I am looking for a city whose builder and ruler is God. So we must use our faith to connect to that dimension of Abram, the ancient dimension. Ancient means we go to the beginning. So in essence, as the church, we're not advancing really. When we say we are advancing, we are talking about going back to the ancient faith positions of our ancestral fathers, the ancient patterns and positions. Number four, in talking about the restoration of the tabernacle of Moses, we talked then about number four, rebuilding of the tabernacle of David will bring forth the proper interface to the earth to make the eternal realms a reality. I say this again, rebuilding of the tabernacle of David will bring forth the proper interface to the earth to make the eternal realms a reality. So for us as a faith people, eternity is a real reality. It is more real than the sun. Eternity is more real than what your eyes see in front of you. We must connect the church to an eternal mindset. Get the church beyond the present. Get the church beyond the smoke screens of the day, and connect the church and build an eternal mindset in the church, a mind that is fixed on spiritual things every day, every second of our existence. David looked beyond the current structure, the structure of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses of his day, and saw the eternal structure, the church. So for David, he saw already Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24, that says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." So David was already, he already have insight into a better days that is coming, a better church that will be better than the church of Moses, better than his own tabernacle. And he was looking to this church. And Abram was also desiring this church, Mount Zion, that will come. And he was not longing for the days of Moses. He was not longing for the mount that he received, the Ten Commandments, Sinai. No, he was not looking for Sinai. He said, "No, I'm looking for Mount Zion." That's prophetic sight. He was looking into the eternal realms and understand and know there's a better place in God than the tabernacle of Moses. He was looking already into the eternal past. And in the eternal past, we as the church, we must ask ourselves what was on the mind of God when he created the church. We have to discover that to build accurately. Number five, in the restoration process, when it happens, possessing the remnant of Edom, as I've just read in that portion of scripture, the remnant of Edom, that speaks of all the Gentiles embracing, in other words, God is looking for a Davidic church in the earth that can embrace the global mandate of the church, and which is nation, a nation consciousness. We have religious, we are religious, there's a religious consciousness in the church, program consciousness in the church, and self-conscious. Self-consciousness in the church, and we don't understand that the glory of the Lord lies in the nations, but we are blinded by our programs, we are blinded by our religious things, and the focus on the self, and we forget that the glory of the Lord is out there in the nations. And God, a true Davidic church, is a church that is mindful of the nations out there, the remnant, the residue that still needs to come in to the church. This is called the remnant of Edom. In 1 Chronicles 13, verse 14, it says here, "The ark of God remained." And next week, I would love to touch on this one. "The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." Now, you must understand this. Obed-Edom is a worshiper of all kinds of idols. And meaning that the ark of the Lord must share space with all the idols that is in the house of Obed-Edom. Obviously, it's not a good place at that moment, but it points to a future reality. This is prophetic. His prophetic dwelling place for the Lord is the nations. God see this Obed-Edom is a representative principle of all the Gentile nations. And God see, yes, maybe in the days of David, to have the ark in his house, Obed-Edom, was not a good place, but it was pointing us to a future reality, and meaning that there will come a day that a Davidic church shall rise and be deeply conscious about the nations. So this man, Obed-Edom, he was a descendant, an offspring of Esau. And Esau, we know, was the brother of Jacob. And Esau, they refused Israel's passage on their way to Canaan. We remember that story. So they blocked them. They refused them access through their land. They were idol worshippers, the people of Obed-Edom, idol worshippers. They were the dwelling place of Goliath, the giant. And Obed represent a rebellious spirit towards God. Yet the ark was in their midst. And we know that the ark himself represents the throne of God. The ark represents the fullness of God. The ark represents the government of God. The ark represents the majesty and the sovereignty of God. And now we see the prophetic future tells us where God wants to put the ark in the midst of the nations, so that the nations can have the benefit of the government of God, the throne of God, access to the throne of God. God wants the nations to understand how sovereign he is, how glorious he is, and they must come under his name. And that was a prophetic promise to Amos and also to Abraham. And God wants to fulfill his promise to Abraham through us, the church. Now, Amos says here in Amos 9, verse 11, he said, on that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its ruins or its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. It brings me to number 6. Number 5 was possessing the remnant of Edom, meaning the Gentiles. And God wants us to embrace a global mandate for the church and be a nation, a conscious church. That's a Davidic church, a church that is nation conscious is a Davidic church. It's church that is like the heart of God. Number 6, the tent of David had to be erected by David, or those who wants to build the tabernacle of David must have the same spirit as David. And David, in building that tent, he tried to transmit what he felt through worship to the people. A deeper, clearer understanding of the purpose of God. This is what he was trying to transmit. And it implies whatever principles are in the tent of David can only be implanted by a Davidic people, or what we shall call an end time people. A church that embraces the principle of David's tent. And he pitched the tent in Mount Zion. But we also know in the transition of David on his way to Mount Zion, and Zion speaks of ruling and reigning. It speaks of our final glory and our final breakthrough. But before you can get to that place, you first have to go through Hebron. And Hebron is the place where we cut covenant before you get to the ultimate reality, which is Zion. And we shall see in these last days, as we build covenant relationships, networks of covenants, and strengthen the covenants, we shall also see covenant breakers in the church to oppose, to fight against this thing. But we shall fall or we shall stand by our relationships in these last days. There will come a violent spirit that wants to bring the spirit of a covenant breaker amongst us. But when we look at the tent of David, we need to go through them through Hebron before we can get to our final breakthroughs in the Lord. Covenant ensures the installation of the laws that regulates men's interaction with God. And it's very important that covenant ensures the installation of the laws that regulates men's interaction with God. And we're talking about the laws in us. And that laws will guide us how to interact with God. And God demands temple building according to design and the ministering priesthood. So I've already explained these laws as we open ourselves to the new speakings of God. And it is no secret that there's a fresh dimension of God in the earth. There's a fresh speakings of God in the earth. And that speakings, if we allow the Spirit to install these new words, that these new doctrines and teachings, it will become the law, the laws in us that will help us and regulate us to interact with God. So there's a fresh interaction with God that will come through the teachings of apostles and prophets to the body of Christ. Now, my message is very short this morning. So more things that the tent represents, the tent of David represents, is A, the understanding of the journey, or what we shall also say, the understanding of the migration of the church. The understanding of the migration of the church. David already discerned that there is a move beyond the tabernacle of Moses. He already discerned that we're not going to stuck in the principles of Moses. There's something bigger than Moses. And we must make sure, as the church, and I hope as we engage with the fresh revelations and we see a fresh unveiling of Christ, it will help us to grow in the Lord so that we must never stop growing in God. And therefore, we have to understand the journey that God is taking with us. We cannot think from the beginning to the end that God will only feed us with the very same revelations and same word every Sunday, every day. No, God will bring fresh word, and that fresh word will bring fresh understanding, and that fresh understanding will regulate us, and that new regulation will help us to interact with God in a different way, and that will help us not to stop growing in God. So it's the understanding of the journey. B, the tent was a transitioning thing. And we know even the building of the Temple of Solomon was 40 years. But regardless of how long it takes, we must never come to a place where we worship our experiences in God. Whether you're 40 years with the Lord, 50 years, 60 years with the Lord, never ever, and I know that you are loaded with experiences on this road. I know that you have seen a lot, you have heard a lot, but don't worship your experience in God. Stay like a child in God, because God is greater than your last experience. God is much, much greater than your last experience. So don't ever think there's nothing to learn. Don't ever think you have come to the ultimate of your experience with God. There is much, much, much more in God still need to be discovered by you. See, the worship that David gave was prophetic worship around the tent. It was prophetic worship around the tent. And in worshiping the Lord around the tent, the voice of the Lord was activated. The voice of the Lord through worship, the voice of God was established among them. And then also the tabernacle, in understanding what a tabernacle represents, as A, B, C, and number D, is full access to God. God, the tabernacle of Moses, breaking the rituals of the day, the order of the day, allowing people to have full access 24/7 to God. And then the last one here is E, the tent indicates there are greater glory than outward manifestation. There are greater glory than outward manifestation. Yes, it was a simple tent that David erected. But there was, it was not the tabernacle of like of Moses with great glory upon it. We remember there was a cloud descending on many times. Whenever God wants to speak to the people or to Moses, a cloud was descending on the tabernacle. Tabernacle, the whole thing was about the size. Here in South Africa, like a rugby field or a soccer field, it was about the size. And that place was overlaid with the glory of God, which was a cloud. But we are not going for outward manifestation in the tent of David. We're going for greater inner quality of life that gives a greater quality of worship unto the Lord. So our inner life is the thing that God is focusing in these last days. We see our people use outward manifestations in their engagement with God, in their religion, and they hide themselves because they make fig trees of their programs. They make fig leaves. They hide themselves just like Adam and Eve in their religion, and they can never discover the fullness of God because they hide behind these things. I'm closing with 2 Chronicles 1. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 1 to 7. It was about Solomon's request for wisdom. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the captains of thousands and of the hundreds, to the judges, to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was Gibeon for the tabernacle of meeting with God, because the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness." Now it says, "But David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriat Yearim to the place of David, had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent." And this is what we talk about, the tabernacle of David. He pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. "Now the bronze altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him there. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" Now, we also know that there was a cloud on the temple of Solomon, and the problem with the people is that they only worship when they see the cloud. They only worship when they see there's a manifestation. But God wants inner reality from us so that we will not be moved by what we see. We shall not start to manifest just because we see, but inner reality will guide us to follow the Lord. Inner reality must guide us and not the outward manifestation. My spirit is high, my faith is high, only when I see the hand of the Lord in answering my prayers and giving me the things that I want. But this is not a Davidic church. They are moved by the goodness of God, yes, and God will supply in all our own needs, but we are moved by inner reality that is greater than outward manifestation. I'm closing. In Amos, something was deliberately demolished. If you read that portion of scripture, I cannot go back there, but the Bible talks about the ancient ruins. So something was in ruins. The tabernacle of David, it was demolished deliberately, meaning it implies that there is a deliberate, a subtle strategy of the enemy to destroy all the principles in the tent of David. When we talk about the tent of David, we're talking about the presence of the Lord, the place where God wants to meet with his people. And these principles, through the years, is now being destroyed, and it needs to be resurrected. Now, the devil wants to destroy all the principles, and I want to mention some of these principles. The first principle Satan wants to demolish and destroy in the church is the principle of free access to God. This is why he blocked access to God by organized religion. There's a certain order how we approach God. Certain people can touch certain things in the house of God and prohibit the church to go wherever God commands them to go. So there's free access, the principle of free access. A religious spirit in the church wants to destroy free access in God. Secondly, we're talking here about how the tabernacle of David is being built. It gives, when you come to the tabernacle of David, it gives you free access to God. And Satan wants to stop it, wants to destroy that principle, even in today's churches. Therefore, we have ranking in the church. There are certain spaces in the church you cannot sit. Certain men sit there. There are certain things you cannot do. You cannot baptize babies. You cannot pray for the sick. You cannot ordain people. You cannot do funerals. You cannot do weddings because it's restricted areas. And it is things that is reserved only for certain people. And the devil wants to bring these kind of religious organization to block free access to God. Secondly, internal reality. We must live by outward manifestation. We must only be excited when God answers our prayers. We must be, the internal reality must be clouded. That must become secondary. So we are moved by what we see, like those in Israel, they were moved by the manna, they were moved by the cloud, they were moved by the miracles, they were moved by the opening of the Red Sea, they were moved, but there was no internal reality. Number three, the devil wants to destroy the release of God's voice in the church, and they want to bring confusion. That meaning that whenever there's a man on the pulpit, we confuse it with the voice of God. But there is a voice away from the pulpit. That's the silent voice that God can deal with you and with you alone away from the pulpit. I'm not undermining the voice on the pulpit, but I'm saying God wants to speak to you directly because he wants to give you free access to him. And the true voice of God is clouded, is undermined by religious things in the church, and people cannot hear the voice of the Lord anymore. And fourthly is the principle of creativity that Satan wants to ruin, destroy in the house of God. And these things that I'm saying is already being destroyed in the church. Therefore, it is called the ruins. And he said, I will rebuild the ruins of the tabernacle of David. After this, he says in Amos, I will return, says the Lord, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So these things is under pressure, and these are foundational things. These are the things that must be first and foremost in the mind of God's people, in the structure of God's people. Now he talks, he said, these things are now being destroyed, and it looks like ruins. And now we have to dig deep. When God says, I'm going to rebuild the ruins, meaning God is saying, I'm going to dig deep in these last days. I'm going to digging underneath the foundation of the church, and I will find these things and I will destroy it. Now, Davidic principles within the church must be resurrected. And God said, I will look for that principles even amongst the ruins in the church, a destroyed foundation of the church. I will find it and I will look for it and I will destroy it and I will find my principles in this tent of David. And he wants to show us Satan's strategy and method in the church, because Satan wants also to dig deep, and Satan wants to right there under the foundation of the church, our belief systems, our convictions, our posture in God's. He comes for it. He wants to ruin it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to upset it. Satan will never come against outward manifestations in the church, because he will keep us busy with outward manifestations. And I don't even want to name it, all these things that happen in the church that is outward. And Satan as the mastermind, he will keep the church busy with these outward manifestations and give us a false picture that these things can give us everlasting joy. But in reality, he comes to undermine the inward character and our understanding of our foundations in God. That's a Pharisee spirit that undermines the true reality that must be in the church. And these outward manifestations kept us in deception. And sometimes we don't even know that we are internally corrupt, because we are so busy with the outward manifestations. And we don't even see and realize these things can sometimes bring deception. Now to correct it, we cannot put up visible things. We have to restore the foundations of old. It is my encouragement as I conclude my message for this morning, and I hope as you have listened to the message that you have found something, an anchor, something that can anchor your soul this morning. It brings you to fresh and new realization, and it strengthens your faith in God. Grace and peace be with you. The Lord is with you. Amen.